worship you, Lord. You can do anything with any circumstance, any situation. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, we praise your name. We're going to go to the bridge. God, you are my strength. Oh, God, you are my strength and my rock. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Father, you are our fortress. You are our defense. You are our help. So, Father, we ask that your purpose, your divine design, your plan, your will be speedified in every area of our lives. Our trust is in you, our God. We know no other God. We know no other help but you. And we thank you, Lord, O God, for keeping us through these summer months as we had a break, and as we come back, O God, again, congregated, O God, to study your word. We ask for supernatural insight and understanding. We assume nothing. We trust you to speak to us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. Unveil the word of truth to us, and may our lives forever be changed because of your dealings with us, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our sovereign Lord, we ask it, we receive it, we have it. Lord, O God, as our lives are changed, your assignment to us is that we should teach others, and we receive that grace, that assignment to do so. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise God. Well, welcome back to our Bible study times. We have been studying from the book of Proverbs, and we are in the 11th chapter. We're in the 11th chapter. How appropriate. Today is the 11th day of the month, and we're starting with the 11th chapter today. And the Word of God is very clear. There isn't much to explain because it's right in front of us. It says here, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord. Now, a balance is a scale. So, a deceitful scale is an abomination to the Lord. In essence, then, God is also saying, put in your thumb to the balance, to skew it. It's hated by God. If something is a meter, and you're measuring it in yards, you're throwing things off. 1 kilogram is not equivalent to 1 pound. So if you were selling me something, or I was selling you something, and I'm selling it to you in kilograms, but calling it pounds, it's off, or vice versa. And God is simply saying to us, I want you to be true. I want you to be real. If this is the measuring stick, let it be the same. If you're going to practice justice, you cannot have one justice for the rich and another for the poor. It's got to be the same. But our world is full of injustice, of fake balances, fake scales. You can't trust so many people in whatever it is that they say. They might be saying one thing, but they mean something totally different. And creates confusion. So God simply says to us, scales, balances that are deceitful, that are fake, an abomination to the Lord. But the true weight is his delight. I happen to have listened to the debates in the States yesterday, and it was obvious that the scale of judgment was tilted, imbalanced, not fair. That's an abomination to the Lord. He hates it. And when God hates something, he ultimately does something about it. He exposes it. Growing up in Nigeria, you go to the market, and let's say you are going to buy a cup or some rice. They may sell it in bags, but in those days they also sold it in cups. So you have the cup, and it says, this is one cup. They fill it with rice or whatever it is that you're buying, they pour it in your bag. But some traders will pound the bottom. They will pound the bottom of the cup in. So now it's not really a full cup. And they pour it and they're going fast. One, two, three. By the time they do five cups, it's really three cups. So, how come the rice is so small? Well, fake. It still weighs the same thing, where it's been pounded in. You know, sometimes you go to a store and you say, we have 30% off sale. 30% off sale. So it used to be $10, now it's going to be $7. But really, the real price was $7. We said they give you 30% off. Fake. And God says, I hate that. If you are a businessman, I hate that. If you are, you know, going to high school, you know, you want to buy books and different things, it costs $10, and you go collect money from your dad, you tell your dad, it's $13. That's not the right answer. It's not $13, it's $10. If you want extra, mention the extra. I need some money to go have fun with my friends. But the book is $10. Why are you saying it's $13? So there are so many ways that a false balance comes into play, and God just simply is basically saying to us, listen, I hate that. Just tell the truth. If you want to charge $13 for something, charge $13. Don't say it was $10. And don't charge and say, well, it's really $13, but I'm giving you a discount for $10. God says, cut that out. Nobody stops you from saying, I want to sell it for $13. I want to make a $3 profit. You know, if you go to a store, a regular store might sell a shirt for whatever, $75. But really, the price that they bought it for might be $10. So when they say it's $75, it's their prerogative to charge that. So if they give you a discount and say, I'm going to give you a discount, and decide to sell that same shirt for $10, or rather for $30, well, they just cut down on their profit or whatever it is. It's still their decision. But don't give a lie. And that's what God's simply saying. So I hate that. Verse 2 goes on and says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. When pride comes into a life, following pride is shame. People boast about all kinds of things. I this, I that, I this, I that, I did that, and I did this. And when you go into pride, God says, coming alongside with pride is going to be shame. And I've seen it happen in business. I've seen it happen in ministries. I've seen it happen in government. People just go arrogant and proud and think they can do whatever it is that they want to do, and don't forget the fact that without pride, shame is coming. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But pride has to come first, then comes shame. What is pride ultimately? Pride ultimately is having a false sense of who you are. A false sense of who you are. That goes back to the whole issue of balances. When we are proud, we can think of ourselves as more than what we are, or less than what we are. When God created man in his image and likeness, he said, you like me. And here comes the devil and says to the man, no, he didn't tell you the truth. You are less than what he says that you are. So you got to do this, eat of this fruit, and you'll be like him. But eating of that fruit was disobedience to God. And how many times does the enemy come causing us to be disobedient to the instruction of God? Or causing us to think that we know better than God? Or not accepting what God says about us? Or thinking less of ourselves, and we think it's humility? No, humility is you coming into agreement with God. That's what humility is. Pride is disagreeing with whatever God says you are. Pride is thinking of yourself as a sinner when God has called you righteous. If God calls you righteous, accept it, receive it, have it, Keep it. Declare what he said about you. But if you're coming to God and saying, God, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that, I don't deserve this, I don't deserve that. Why? Because of this, and it contradicts what God says, then that false humility is an act of pride. When Adam and Eve ate of that fruit in disobedience to the instruction of God, shame came. They found themselves naked. And anytime we operate in the spirit of pride, that's exactly what's going to happen. The wind is going to blow, and the behind of the chicken is going to be exposed. It's just the way it is. So pride is something that we must not embrace. But the Word of God says, but with the lowly, the one who is truly humble, who comes into agreement with whatever it is God is saying, with that one is wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. But with the lowly is wisdom. That means that the humble person is wise. Wisdom is with him already. When pride comes, shame comes. But with the lowly, wisdom is there. It's not coming, it's there. Isn't that awesome? Wisdom is present in the heart that is quiet. You don't have to be yap, 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 yap all over the place. Be quiet, be lowly, be meek, and wisdom is with you. So when we are in a setting where all kinds of people are talking whatever it is they are saying, we must learn how to be quiet. A man who is quiet is not a fool. You act the fool when you open your mouth and you start blotting out nonsense. Watch. Ask questions. That's part of being lowly. Asking questions. Not being presumptuous about anything. What do you think about this? How should this be handled? And so on and so forth. This is wisdom is with you. It goes on and says in verse 3, the righteousness or the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Your righteous act and perspective, God uses this to guide you. When you have integrity in your heart, the Word of God says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. God, by the Holy Spirit, guides us. But he guides us because we have integrity. We're not going around with false balances. Let whoever thinks more highly of himself deal with that issue. Because God exalts the humble, but he brings down the proud. That's how it goes. If you think you're nobody, when God thinks that you're somebody, you're coming down. You will self-fulfill your mind, your thinking. So the reality is coming into agreement with God. That's uprightness. That's you aligning yourself with God. Whatever God says about you, come into agreement with it. And says it's going to guide you that way. But the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. The perverse ways, the twisted ways, the false ways of transgressors will destroy them. The word of God says pride cometh before the fall. That's just the way it is. If you want to live a life of pride, precious things will happen. But the integrity of the upright will lead them. Will lead them. Do this, say this, act like this, and so on and so forth. Now, like I said earlier, I listened to or watched the American debate for their presidency. And the former president was led through all kinds of rat holes because of pride. So the things that he needed to talk about, that he should talk about, he didn't even talk about those things because he was being led through all these funny holes. He said whatever it is that he needed to say, but he was stuck on and has been stuck on his crowd sizes. So the opener says people come to his meetings and they leave by the end because he's boring. He doesn't have. And he had a very important answer to question that he needed to answer. He forgot about that. He has to deal with his crowd issue. No, people don't leave my crowd. They're always there. They stay to the end, blah, 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 blah. So you just wasted the time. And that's the lesson. If there's an area of pride, of something that makes you feel important, that makes you feel like you got it, if it is set in front of you, you will trip over yourself every time. If, for example, you find your sense of importance as a pastor, for example, with numbers. I have 50,000 people in my church, and that's what makes you feel important. But you really have 5 people in your church. You will say something like, I have 5 to 50,000 people in my church. It's a lie. You have 5 people. You don't have 5 to 50,000. You're just trying to make yourself feel important because you think numbers is what qualifies you. It's a lie. You address what you need to address and be satisfied in the goodness of God concerning what you have. People will spend all kinds of crazy money and not have money to buy something to eat, but they want to be like the Joneses over there. And they'll spend all kinds of crazy money. I think about Nigerians, especially the ones back home. They are always attending one party after the other, and they are always dressed with all kinds of amazing, nice clothes. But at the same time, they complain, we don't have money to eat. I said, okay, if you didn't spend all that money to go buy all those clothes, you will have some money to eat. But I have to feel important. I have to have this bag, and it has to have these shoes and this hairdo and blah, 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 and so on and so forth. Okay, so you look nice, but you're going to die hungry. You're not looking at things the way you should look at things. You're not allowing the integrity of the upright to guide you. It says, but the perverse and the twistedness of transgressors shall destroy them. Because of pride. Because of pride. Verse 4 goes on and says to us, riches profit not in the day of wrath. I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich, I want to be rich. So you got riches. Tell you what, it's not going to deliver you in the day of wrath. You need to get proper priorities. It says, however, but righteousness delivereth from death. Your righteousness will deliver you from death. Now, when it's talking about death here, it's not just talking about physically dying. Because righteous people die just like unrighteous people. But you will not be separated from God. Ultimately, the wages of sin is death. You have to have a perspective of eternity all the time. A perspective of eternity. I have to live right. I have to walk uprightly before God. And understand that you pursuing riches, lying to get riches, stealing to get riches, being deceitful to get riches, all of that is not going to save you one moment. It's not going to save you. It's worthless. It's meaningless. Ultimately, it's not going to do any good. You have to, as the Lord will say, seek first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. If we walk according to the word of God, we will not live in a world of lies. We will not live in a world of lies. Now, today is not about American politics. But it's such a perfect illustration for me tonight. One opponent was pouring out all kinds of lies on the other person. You said this, you said that, you said this, you did that, and all of those things were debunked. She knows it. But she says it. But it was not true. Is that what happens in our politics? It doesn't matter where. But that same politics happens in our homes, it happens in our business places, it happens in the church, it happens all over. You know it's not true, and that's what you spout out. It's a lie. If that's not what you are sent to do, but you want to collect riches and lie, it's going to backfire. That's all God is saying. It's going to backfire. It's not going to save you because you've not grounded yourself in the real truth of God's word that will cause you to experience the goodness of God. Your faith is based on what you can accumulate for yourself. I'm not going to give God my tithe. I don't believe in tithing. And if the windows of heaven are not opened over you, and God cannot rebuke the devourer for your sake, then you blame God. Why am I going through all this trouble? Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Have you been a person of integrity? And why exactly didn't you give that right? I got to save for the rainy day. So you save for the rainy day. Guess what? You're already prophesying the rainy day. And everything that you just saved is going to get wiped off. Just like that. Wasted. How many times have I seen it? People save and 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 save. And then they retire. And after they retire, they didn't even last 6 months. Because as soon as they retired, some sickness comes. Bang. Now they are pumping out money all over the place, trying to get healed, running through all kinds of craziness. All that money is gone. Now they are remortgaging, refinancing their house, and they can't even catch up with that, and all kinds of crazy. The car is falling apart. The day of wrath. Nothing. God is not able to rebuke the devourer for your sake and that situation. But if you walk uprightly, righteously before God, he says he will deliver you from death. That's a promise. Then it says, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the perfect, the mature person, is going to guide them. He's going to make his way straight. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Whatever wicked thing that he's doing, is word of God is very clear. It's, you're going to fall. This is not going to be the devil. You know, the devil cannot be everywhere. Know that? He's not everywhere present. So the devil is not the one that's attacking everybody. Yes, he has his cohorts that he works with, but he's not everywhere. The devil will get you to start thinking in a particular way that's not upright, not righteous, not filled with integrity. And as soon as he gets you set, he leaves you alone. It's like that bunny rabbit thing. You know, yes, the energizer bunny. You whine, and you leave it alone, and it will keep on going drumming. Boom, boom. And the devil will just get the place prepped, and then he'll go find another fool to mess with. Meanwhile, you are self-destructive. But the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. As a pastor, I've seen this play out itself. You know, you have people, you trust them, you give them an opportunity to serve and whatever, but they have their own agenda. Just like Absalom had his own agenda. Instead of helping to build and fortify his father's kingdom and help his father stay strong, he begins to manipulate the situation. You know, he's right there. you know, chatting with the people, talking with the people, but it was not about promoting his father's kingdom. It was about promoting himself so that he can get the power. And how does he die? After the Bible describes him, how amazing he was, how long his hair was, and how he was just a specimen of a man. How does he die? He hangs by his own hair. His hair gets caught on a tree, and he hangs himself with his own hair, the source of his pride. Well, I've seen it happen over and over. People start out things, instead of building together, they decide, I'm going to go do this, I'm going to go do that, and so on and so forth. And lie on God and say, God said. Meanwhile, God said nothing. God said, God, I saw it in a dream. God was telling me this. No, your heart was talking to you from the pride of your heart. And they don't just live quietly. They just want to disrupt everything, grab other people's church members to go start something. And guess what? As soon as you do that, you start becoming suspicious of everybody in your church. Anybody that's trying to grow, you're going to knock them down because, you know, you're suspicious. Why were you calling that church member? Now, your church members can't call anybody anymore because it's always somebody's planning something. Why? Because you planned something. That's how you did your stuff. So now you suspect everybody. But if that's not how you started and you truly have a calling of God on your life, you could care less. The Lord Jesus Christ says, what belongs to me will stay with me. The stuff that doesn't belong to me, but I'm definitely not going to lose the sheep that belong to me. So I'm not going to worry about it. And I'm not going to keep myself concerned about this person or that person or whatever somebody did or didn't do. No. The wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. Period. You engineering something, you will trap yourself. It's the word of God. But the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. So when people are planning and trying to hurt you, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Oh, you may go through some challenges and whatever else, but no true man of God, woman of God, that is walking uprightly before God, doing his thing, is going to fail to accomplish God's divine purpose for them when their focus is on the living God. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Bang. They'll be taken by their own naughtiness, taken by their own devices, taken by their own whatever. So the point is, listen, don't be doing things that is going to cause people, somebody else, pain, unnecessary pain, cause them to fail. You're not going to put all of your support. Well, guess what? That's the seed that you're sowing. And when you start your own, you'll not get all that full support either. God says, the Lord says, God will give to you that which is yours when you've been faithful in taking care of another's. When you're faithful in taking care of another person's assignment, God will give you your assignment at the fullness of time. You know, the reality of life is cells naturally divide. My father and my mother gave birth to me, but I'm not living with them now. I have my own family. But I did not have my own family because I rebelled against my father and my mother. And when I left home with the blessing because I left in the normal way. Praise the Lord. When I first started pastoring with Albright Memorial Evangelical Church, it used to be Right Down Church and Mackenzie. It's now a Catholic church now, and they moved to off the perimeter. I faithfully served. I had no agenda. And I remember the day the Lord spoke to me. I had gone to do a visitation in the Garden City area. Actually, I was visiting the lawyers because I was a visitation pastor. When I got to the area, the Lord told me, he said, I want you to start a church in this area. I said, that is not happening. I like where I am. He said to me, why don't you want to start this church? I'm asking you to start a church in this area. I said to the Lord, I said, it's a very Jewish area. I said, it's a Jewish area. And the Lord spoke to me again. He said, where did the church start? My church start? I said, it started in Jerusalem. And then he said to me, can you get more Jewish than Jerusalem? Oh, the discussions I've had with the Lord. Oh, my Lord God. Can you get what Jewish and Jew? I said, no. I said, I want you to start this church. So for the next 2-3 days, I could hardly eat anything. How am I going to tell my pastor, my senior pastor, that God is calling me to start a church? I mustered some courage. I called him. I called him John Vamushutin on Sunday, but his name is actually Lucas. Lucas Vamushutin. I said, Pastor, I'd like to talk with you. He said, okay. Where do you want to meet? I said, wherever you want to meet. He said, are you going to be at the university tomorrow? I said, yeah. So I'll come to university. At that time, Mom and I were attending UFW. She was doing business admin, something similar to that. And I was doing economics. And he said, I'll come. So he comes. And we go to the cafeteria at UFW. He's sitting across from me. And with fear and trembling and shaking, I said to him, Pastor, I don't know how to tell you this. God spoke to me and said I should start a church in the Garden City area. And this guy and another guy called John Thiessen, they both go together. Hallelujah! I said, what? What is going on here? What hallelujah? These are not hallelujah people. These are like, you know. Hallelujah. I said, what's going on? He said, just yesterday, we were in that area and we said, it would be a good thing for us to start a church in this area. Oh, since God has spoken to you, you are the answer to prayer. We're going to start a church there, and we're going to pay your salary to start the church. Huh? But I'm your evangelism and visitation pastor. Forget about that. The salary that we're paying you, we are going to pay you to go start that church. So that's how I started Seven Oaks Evangelical Church at R.F. Morrison Elementary School. And was there serving for about 2-3 years. And here comes the Lord again. Says, what I want you to do, you cannot do under this denomination. So you're going to have to start afresh. Huh. So I talked to my pastors again. I talked to the superintendent of the denomination. I said, God is calling me out. I cannot go without your permission. If you say no, I stay. I will take it as the voice of God speaking to me. But I know what I heard from God. He said to me, he said, you go on. It's fine. Go start the church. If you want to keep the members, you can keep them. If you want to release them to come back. So I came back and I released the people. See, starting a totally different ministry. It's not going to be under the Evangelical Church of Canada anymore. And you're released to go. Some went back, joined with them. But a handful of people stayed. And we started going from place to place until we got here. Part of the people that stayed were the lawyers. And Sister Esmeralda Clark, if you remember Sister Esmeralda, Sister Esme, we came and it continued with us. So I didn't go doing crazy stuff. I didn't sow that seed. So I trust God every day. The transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. There are people that stepped away. They're going to start something, and it didn't even take off from the ground. It just crashed. Some lasted longer than others, but they all ultimately crash. Some scandal hits them and they crash. All kinds of crazy things happen and they crash. It is just the way it is. The Bible says if you take an inheritance before it is due, your life is forfeit. You messed up. Your lamp is going to go out. So when the prodigal son went and took his father's stuff before it was due, guess what? The end of the story was going to be the same. He was going to lose everything. He was going to lose everything. And that's exactly how the story went. He lost everything until he repented. You know, there's a way to do things the right way, and there's a way to do things the wrong way. But for you as an individual, you got to keep your heart clean, pure, and walk uprightly. Deal with the right balance in life. It is a principle to live by. Being fair with each other. Because if you don't want it done to you, don't do it to somebody else. Every seed sown will grow. and it will produce after its kind. If you don't want, everybody does business with somebody. Yeah? We all do business with somebody. So if you're a business person doing business with somebody and you're not being fair with them, guess what? You are sowing disfavor for yourself. You know, somebody's going to sell you something for $20,000 and tell you that they're giving you a real deal. This is a real deal, $20,000. Because if you try to buy this somewhere else, it's going to be $40,000. I'm giving you a real deal. Okay? But really, what you should have charged is $2,000. Is that fair? Well, if a guy is willing to pay $20,000, I guess it's fair. But don't be lying about it. Don't be, you know, doing things that cause things to fall in a totally different situation, because you're going to reap that harvest. If you don't reap it directly yourself, the worst thing about it is that your next generation, because sometimes it's the innocent that get the mess handed over to them. There's scriptures concerning these things. When Hezekiah messed up, God says, this is what's going to happen, but it's not going to happen in your day. It's going to happen to your children. And instead of the guy crying out and saying, God, have mercy. You had mercy on me before. Have mercy on me. Have mercy. He says, do like you want to do. Oh, my Lord. Okay. And his children paid the price. Because when pride has gotten in there, and that was a problem of Hezekiah. Here comes these Babylonians, and he shows them everything in his kingdom. Everything. And Isaiah comes and says, who are those guys that just left here? Oh, there are some guys that came from a very far, far place. What did you show them in your house? I showed them everything. You mean everything in your house? Yeah, everything in my house and everything in the temple. All of it. All the things that we've acquired. I showed them. And Prophet Isaiah says, really? All those stuff and your children, they are going out exile. And the guy didn't repent. But when he had the when he had the wound and he was dying, and the man of God came to him and told him, get your house ready, you're going to die. He turns his face to the wall and cries out to God, God, you can't do this. Not to me. Remember all the things I did to make sure that the things of the kingdom were taken care of, and the heaps and heaps and heaps of offerings that the priests could not eat, and they had to heap off all kinds. And God says to Isaiah, go back and tell him he's going to live. I'm giving him 15 years. Those 15 years got him into a big mess. So basically, God is saying to us, watch it. Do right. Be fair. Don't have fake skills, because it's only going to generate problems. God is not against you charging and making profit. Make as much profit as you want if you're a business person. It's all fair. It's what the consumer is willing to pay, ultimately. It's supply and demand. That's it. But be true to yourself that you're doing the right thing. Well, if the market price is $50,000 and I get a deal and I buy it for $1,000 and I want to resell it, but the market price is $50,000, but I can sell it for $45,000, but I got it for $1,000, hey, you're good. If you're happy with that, if you're okay with that, yeah, that's fine. But if you're not going to be okay with it, and you can make decent profit at $5,000, sell it for $5,000. Don't look at the market value over here. Sell it for what you feel comfortable with. Just be fair. Do the fair thing. Do the right thing. Do what will glorify God. And let's stop there today, and let's take it up from verse 7 next week, where it says, when a wicked man died, his expectation shall perish. Whatever it is that he was planning, when the wicked, it's all going to fall apart. I've seen too many wealthy people that got their wealth through wicked actions. Their children, not their grandchildren, their children, that they left billions of dollars for, are busy begging people, you know, can you borrow me some money so I can eat? All that wealth is gone. Gone. Sometimes the children will fight and destroy each other. Lawyers will grab the all kinds of crazy things happen. They were trying to build a legacy and it's all gone. It's foolishness. So let's do the right thing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to walk uprightly before you. Help us to deal fairly and in fairness. Help us, Lord, not to deal with false, fake, deceptive balances, deceptive measuring sticks. Let us deal with each other in fairness and be just, not people that are bribed, whose eyes are closed with material wealth and deal unjustly, deal with people with unjust patterns. But Lord, oh God, let every decision we make in life honor you and glorify you. Wherever it is that we've done wrong, we ask for crop failure, forgiveness, redemption, deliverance. Let every word that comes forth out of our mouths be words that edify and help. We declare judgment, your judgment, on every evil practice around us. In the mighty name of Jesus, let every corrupt mindset be exposed and demolished. Let your grace abound. Help us to testify of your goodness all of our days. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible study. Thank you, Lord, for the days yet to come as we study your word together, praying together, experiencing you together. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for coming and participating today in this Bible study. And may God grant us all his divine grace and help us live fulfilled lives for his glory and honor. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Is there anyone online today on Zoom? Okay. Hello. Blessings. How are you? It's good to see you.